Broadcast Studios, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome to ABQ Connect. We are presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling. Plumbing, roofing, and restoration. For service, call 444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. Joined in studio today by Dr. Brian Nixon. He is a Calvary Church pastor. He oversees education and publishing for the church. But here's the most important part. He's also a musician.
I am a musician,
an
Jim.
Artist, a cyclist, and an author. And we're going to talk about all this fun thing. Brian, this week is Star Week. And as many of our listeners know, they are a sister station to us at KNKT.
Right.
They used to be called K-Light. Branded here in recent years as Star 88, 88.3 on your FM dial. And most people don't know this. This was the first contemporary Christian music station in the country.
Right, right. It was cutting edge. And you know, Jim, what people may not realize as well is for 1 year, I oversaw the radio stations. I oversaw, at the time it was called Static Radio and then KNKT. And what I learned about the impact and the importance of this radio station, not just to our region here in New Mexico, but really a lot of people back in the day really saw this as one of the cutting edge stations in the country. And they would send artists and they would send bands this way. And as you know, our old hallway used to be lined with all these gold records from different people who have signed them, thanking the radio station for its support, because it really truly was one of those unique stations, again, not just for our region, but for the country.
Well, I want to let our listeners know, during Star Week here on KNKT, we're letting people know that you can go to star88fm.fm and you can make a donation. They are a nonprofit organization and they work slowly. They work solely on donations.
Right.
And, you know, I've been a supporter of the station for a long time. I've been listening to the station. I went to the Christian Broadcasting Academy. For people as old as me, Brian, and you're not even as old as me, I was on the radio many, many years ago with a gentleman named Rudy Grande. We had the Christian Broadcasting Academy. They had high school students in. They taught us how to spin records. Of course, young people today don't even know what spinning a record is. They have everything on the MP3 players or on their phones.
Right.
But we were spinning records. And of course, back in the day, we had all the, we were playing the rock and roll bands like DeGarmo and Key. Mm-hmm. And, we had Phil Kagi was one of the great guitarists of all time. Still around, I understand.
He still is. Yep. Still performing.
So, Brian, we're going to talk about this. I mean, were really heavily involved in music. Tell me how important music was to you growing up.
Oh, boy, Jim. I could honestly say it's one of the top three influencing factors on my life. Obviously, your family and friends and such are there. But when it comes down to something external that influenced and had an amazing impact, and it still does to this day, it's music. And I think it's because I grew up in a musical household. My father was an opera singer. My mom is a singer. Church music played an incredibly important role in our family. So my earliest memories, honestly, are of music. As a matter of fact, I think one of my first really cognizant memories I have, and I must have maybe been around 3 years old, maybe around there, and that was my dad was singing in a Gilbert and Sullivan production, and this was in Arizona. And my mom, bless her heart, had three kids in tow, and she brought us to the performance, but we sat way in the back. And I distinctly remember seeing my father on stage running down the aisle. My mom couldn't catch me, and she had two other kids to care. I just took off. And I stood at the bottom of the stage waving at my father, you know, and he's singing his part and, of course, trying to sing and waving. And I don't remember what the crowd did, but they probably giggled and laughed and had a hoot. And finally, my mom came down and got me. So music, that type of impact was substantial in my life. And then, you know, growing up in church, when our family moved from Arizona here to Albuquerque, we grew up at First United Presbyterian Church, right there off the 25, off Central, the big white steeple you see. Mm-hmm. And music played an important part in our life as well. I was in the children's choir. My mom sang in the choir. I was in the children's bell choir. But really of more impact was when a professor or someone associated with UNM was brought, and they did what we called at the time Midnight Mass, which were the Christmas evening service. And you had this full orchestra and a full choir. And it was something magical. I mean, it was just something that blew me away as a kid. So those are some of my earliest impressions of music growing up. And it was just saturated in my bones. And, of course, I went off and had a record contract, both in secular and in Christian labels. And again, I could go on and on, but music has helped shape my life.
So, Brian, I don't know how to ask this in a politically correct way. And I don't want to say anything about your church and the traditional hymns and mm-hmm. everything that you sold, mm-hmm. that you sang. I did the same thing in Episcopal church growing up. And I have to say, and again, this isn't a comment about the music. I'm sure that a lot of people are blessed by it even today.
Mm-hmm.
But as a young man, I was really bored.
Yeah.
As a 12 and a 13-year-old, I didn't really want to listen to that music. So I got into high school. I went to El Dorado High School, 15 years old, and started going to Young Life. And then people started sharing things about bands like One Truth. Then mm-hmm. all of a sudden, Bob Dylan starts recording Christian music, B.J. Thomas, mm-hmm. back in the day. And then all of a sudden, right around that time, 1974, 75, K-Lite.
Mm-hmm.
starts up and starts playing Christian music in Albuquerque. And I just have to say that it just grabbed me.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, for me, it was, you know, Christian music truly was Bach. Mm-hmm. You know, growing up, Bach was Christian music. And still, it grabbed me then, and it grabs me to this day. You know, when I hear Jesu of Man's Desiring or Sheep May Safely Graze or any of, you know, Bach's cantatas, I'm still enamored by them. But I could distinctly remember when I heard the first contemporary Christian person that I really liked, and I thought, huh, this guy's pretty good. And that was a blast from probably your past, but John Michael Talbot. Mm. Back in, I think it was 77 or 78, he recorded, he was part of the Jesus movement. He later became a monk. But in the early days, he was part of that Jesus movement, and he recorded a trilogy of albums that someone had handed me, a youth pastor by the name of Ross Suave. He handed me John Michael Talbot, these three albums. They were on cassette at the time, and said, hey, take a listen to these. And I became enamored by John Michael Talbot, and I thought, boy, this guy's a great songwriter. He's a great musician. And so I guess John Michael Talbot, late 70s, was my bridge to contemporary Christian music. Though, if you were to pin me down, Jim, and say you had to choose between what we would call classical Christian music and or contemporary, I would probably still prefer classical Christian music. But I do have a distinct love for contemporary Christian music as well.
But you've been involved in all kinds of genres of music.
That's right.
Now, I want to mention your book, Tilt, Finding Christ in Culture, because we've talked about it on this program. And one of the reasons I enjoy talking with you, Brian, is your tastes are not narrow. You really enjoy art and music, not just Christian music or Christian art, but you can see God working through people in all kinds of ways. And you teach us how to do that, really, in your book.
Right. Yeah, God, you know, the basic principle is that God's not silent, to use a Francis Schaeffer term. He's not silent. He's speaking, and he's making himself known even in the most unexpected places. So Tilt is essentially me going on a voyage of discovery, finding, you know, Christian influence in the most unlikely places, be it a Cormac McCarthy novel, or a composition by a composer. You know, all of these things have elements of truth, beauty, and goodness within them. But yeah, I too went through many phases of music. You know, growing up, it was church music. It was what we'd call traditional or classical Christian music. And then I joined a post-punk band. And you know, and then that band formed into another band, got signed to a secular, small little secular label. And then I went off to college, founded another band. And then sooner or later, that band morphed into even another band. And we got signed to a Christian label out of England called Hope with Rick Wakeman from the rock group Yes. He was the keyboardist for Yes. And it's one of those situations where I've been through many phases myself, but I think it's just largely because generally, you know, music has had such a powerful impact. So I'm less apt to, I could say there's certain genres I like more than others, but I'm less to be critical of just going, well, you know, that's not music. Let's say rap. You know, I hear a lot of people, well, rap's not music. And I go, well, actually it is. You know, definitionally rap is music. So I guess, you know, I like your term broad because really my education, my formal education is in liberal education. And that means broad. I mean, liberal doesn't mean, you know, in the political sense of being progressive or whatever, but in its classical root sense, it just means broad, that you want to be exposed to a variety of educational areas and learn about them. So my undergraduate degree is in liberal studies with a concentration in music, actually.
Well, and Brian, I have to say, I have to confess my own bias, my own prejudice in music. I make fun of people, or used to make fun of them, I should say, that were, you know, rap artists, because I didn't really consider that.
Sure.
But then, this is how God changes me. I go to the Freedom Festival out at Isotopes Park, of course, not this past summer, but the summer before.
Right.
And I see this guy named Gavi.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, I'm walking around the back of the baseball park, and I see Gavi facing, I'm kind of standing at an angle, and I see him facing the main stands, and I see every young person. And I'd say young person being 25 years old or younger, standing up, dancing with him.
Right.
And he jumps off the stage and he runs up to the, you know, up right where home plate is. And he's just clapping and he is just reaching everybody. And I thought to myself, God, I have been blowing it, man.
Yeah.
Because he's using rap to reach people for Christ.
Well, I had that epiphany, and it's not as sanctified as your epiphany, Jim. I'm just going to confess up front. But I had that kind of epiphany back in the mid-80s. For a long time, because I was in a post-punk band, you know, we were thinking, well, rap, I don't know. But then someone brought me a Public Enemy CD, and they played it. And I was blown away, first of all, by the rapper Chuck D, who just had this commanding, you know, baritone, you know, rap voice. But they were hitting on topics that were incredibly important in the African-American community. I may not have agreed with them then or today. I may or may not. But the point was, is he was dealing with real-life situations and weighing in on them. And even there, I could say, okay, he was seeking justice. He was seeking something deeper than just, you know, what we would say bubblegum rap or something. So your epiphany was with Gavi. My epiphany was with Public Enemy. But my Christian introduction to Christian rap, and I still really appreciate him today, it was called a group called SFC. Which was an acronym, Soldiers for Christ. And how Public Enemy were doing that in the secular world, SFC, at least in my opinion, were doing that in the Christian world. He was dealing with real life, be it inner city situations, and he was doing it from the standpoint of a Christian artist. So SFC was my introduction to Christian rap. And though I had appreciated rap before that, I thought, I could get behind someone like SFC. And so kudos to SFC. I sure hope he's still out there doing music.
Yeah. You know, I remember when I started listening, when I was really young, we were listening to things, you know, I'll call it teeny bop music, like the Monkees and those kind of things. And then all of a sudden, I found out about a guy named Ted Nugent.
Yep.
And, you know, these
Cat Scratch Fever.
Yeah, these are all, you know, prior to me hearing any Christian music.
Yeah.
So then all of a sudden, you start hearing Phil Kagi as a guitarist, and you start talking you know, rock and roll bands like One Truth and some of these others, these guys were really technically very good.
Unquestionably. As a matter of fact, Phil Keaggy is one of the finest fingerstyle guitarists in the world, not just in the Christian world. You know, people will say, well, Christian artists and then they're secular artists. Phil Keaggy's just one of the best across the board. And that's just not me who would say that. I mean, there's many, many people who would consider Phil Keaggy one of the finest fingerstyle guitarists in the world.
Well, and there's even stories today that I think are really interesting. Pastor Skip Heitzig is friends with Phil Keaggy. Mm-hmm. And I understand that Lenya Heitzig, when she wanted to have a little jingle for her podcast, Skip calls Phil, and in a matter of, you know, I don't know if it was minutes, but in a very short amount of time, the guy sends him back a guitar lick that's as good as anything you want to hear.
It's true. Yeah. Phil, I only met Phil once here. Skip had him out. Oh, this is probably 8, 10 years ago. And he was a gentleman. He was a kind man, very, very just focused on doing what it was he was here to do, which was play music. But he and Skip had a great time, you know, backstage and talking and swapping stories. Yeah. So it was neat to meet Phil Keaggy. Actually, there's a CD of his that really had a huge impact on me. It was all instrumental, and it was based upon the life of C.S. Lewis. Mm-hmm. And I still could go back to that CD, and I think it was released maybe in the early 90s. I could go back to that CD and listen to it over and over and over again. Phil Keaggy is one of those timeless individuals.
Yeah. Brian, can you understand the pushback back in the days when K-Lite was first going? And we're talking about KLYT Radio, still the same call letters. It's now branded Star 88. This is Star Week.
Mm-hmm.
They are our sister station at KNKT, and we want to encourage people that are interested in supporting the station to go to star88.fm, and you can make a donation and support them on a monthly basis. The music is just extra special. But, Brian, my question is, can you understand the pushback?
I think I can. I mean, you know, I get it generally, Jim, about the difference what people see between secular and Christian. And really what it comes down to is more of the lyrical content when all said and done. Because I, as I've pointed out, listen to Bach, and I hear just deeper Christian content than I do in some praise and worship music. I mean, so it's not a matter of style or genre, but it's the content. But what I don't understand are people who are overly critical of great musicianship and fine musicians who are not, you know, Christians yet. You know, God's not finished with anyone until their last breath. So, you know, I think Christians can appreciate fine musicianship. We can appreciate art and music and other things that maybe are not necessarily deemed Christian, but they in of themselves exude beauty or truth or goodness. And so though I can understand there is a difference and there is a pushback, because there is some very negative evil music or evil lyrical content out there. And I would say we should steer clear of that. But generally speaking, I don't think the divide is as big as many people would like to think.
Dr. Brian Nixon, pastor with Calvary Church. He oversees education and publishing for the church. He's also a musician, artist, cyclist, and author. We're going to talk about some more of Brian's background and some other people that have a lot to do with Christian music. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
Quality, experience, personal service. Dom Garcia Realty, placing the interest of others first.
So we weren't ready to sell our home, but we did need to move. So we needed to find a realtor who also did property management. One of the things that was important to us, to my husband and I, is that we started putting our money where our mouth was and hiring someone who is a believer, hiring someone who is a Christian. It was maybe a week that he came over to our house, toured it, and got the contract signed. I would say overall, Dom was efficient. He was available, quick, easy. I didn't have to worry about a thing.
We are a full-service broker that includes working with buyers and sellers, renting, leasing, management, whether residential or commercial.
Dom Garcia Realty, 899-4644. 899-4644.
Se habla español.
This is a fresh thought. Listen up to Levi Lesko.
Nothing sanitizes like sunlight. I'm telling you, nothing healthy grows in the dark. And when you just tell God honestly about it, there's a power in that. So tell God about your troubles. Here's the great thing about walking with Jesus. We have an anchor for every storm. And I'm convinced that when we tell God what we're afraid of about, when we tell God what's going on, it's sort of like throwing that anchor into the water. The anchor's not going to do you any good in the boat. But when you throw it overboard, when you let it go down to the bottom of the sea, it's able to pull you taut in the midst of that storm. So right there in the midst of it, I'm afraid. I'm feeling hopeless. Are you in trouble? Be authentic as you pray. Tell God. Don't put a nice face on an ugly thing. Some of my most vulnerable moments of prayer were walks where I just literally told God, I don't think I can do this.
For more fresh thoughts, go to LeviLesko.com.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
In studio with Dr. Brian Nixon, we're talking about our sister station, Star 88, today. And if you can help them, they were the first contemporary Christian music station in the country. Mm-hmm. And by virtue of that, they've been the longest contemporary Christian programming station in the country, mm-hmm. which is kind of cool for New Mexico, Brian.
It really is. It really is. And it's a great thing for the radio station and to be part of such a living legacy.
And we're not able to, as we are KNKT, we're a commercial radio station, so we can sell advertising. Mm-hmm. We also have a lot of people that are donating to the station, and we appreciate that very much. But on Star 88, we're allowed to have grant announcements. Mm-hmm. We're allowed to say this person supports the station, mm-hmm. but we're not allowed really to do advertising. So most of the support of the station comes from listeners that just appreciate it. I know I listen to it in my car almost all the time when I'm driving. I've got a couple of teaching programs on KNKT that I like too. So between those two stations, they get most of my radio listeners.
Yeah, yeah. Likewise, I think it's important to have a Christian voice in our community, and both KNKT and Star 88 are really the voices for our community. So it behooves Christians to come alongside and partner with the stations to keep these stations afloat. And as you pointed out, Jim, you know, Star 88 is akin to, let's say, public radio or public television, where it's listener supported. So you want that great programming to be consistent? We've got to support it.
You bet. I want to talk to you about a quote that you already pointed out to me is not necessarily the exact quote, so maybe I'll paraphrase. This was from an 18th century writer and politician.
Scottish writer,
Andrew,
right.
Scottish, yeah. His name was Andrew Fletcher, and he said something like this: "Let me make the songs of a nation, and I care not who makes its laws."
Right. Let me just preface that by saying you're spot on, Jim. That is not the exact quote that Fletcher gave. Throughout time, that's kind of how it's been summarized by various, you know, politicians and entertainers and so on and so forth. But the exact quote is a little bit different. But the sentiment is there. And that is, it focuses in on the importance of the arts, in music in particular. That the arts, be it music or dance or the visual arts, these help shape the content of a nation's character as much as any politician or laws. As a matter of fact, I said this to you at the break, Jim, I'd say this to all of our listeners. Probably, I would dare say most of us in our lives have either a famous actor, a favorite musician, maybe an artist or a poet or something who's meant a lot to us. And we've turned to that person or their movies or their music throughout the years. And it's really spoken to us in a direct way. And that is the power of the arts. Whereas politicians, you know, you may respect them and you may go, boy, that was nice. They did that, but they don't have the same level of impact. And I think part of the reason is because the arts, be it music or whatever, impacts us on an emotional and spiritual level, really. Mm. And so music is probably one of the highest orders of the arts. It's not visual per se. It's auditory. I'm going to throw out a big word. It's metaphysics. You know, it's not physical in the sense, but it affects us on an emotional level. And they've known this throughout history. I mean, this goes back to Plato. Plato was little unsure at times of music because of its swaying effects. Aristotle was the same way. Members of the early church, be it Augustine, he was like, I love music, but we got to be careful of it because it could sway us in a particular direction. And throughout all church history, there's been people who have been pro and con the influence of music. But that's because it has such indelible impact on our mental and emotional lives that it really does. I mean, there's a reason, Jim. Back in the Revolutionary War, the band was there playing alongside either flutes and drums. It was to encourage and motivate the guys. And so music has always played a role in shaping our society.
Brian, I know you're a Californian,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of cutting edge things, everything from fashion to music to Christian teaching, like Chuck Smith, of yeah. course, Calvary Church is part of, Skip Heitzig was part of the Chuck Smith's church, the Jesus movement.
Right.
You were part of that. But I have to tell you, Albuquerque's not usually on the cutting edge of anything except maybe green chili.
Right, right.
But I think that in this case with K-Lite, they really were on the cutting edge. They brought Christian music to the masses, at least in Albuquerque
right.
and in New Mexico, through a series of translators all throughout the state
right.
Over the years. But here's something that they also did that I thought was kind of interesting. Brad and Judy Key were running Mountaintop Promotions for K-Lite, and they were promoting the artists that were on the radio,
right.
and they were doing concerts.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I know some of those concerts were the Christian Center, which is now, I'm trying to think of the name, it's called...
is it
Gate,
a church?
It's a church. It's Gate in the name. I don't know why I can't Gate. Think of it. It's up on Copper.
Copper Point? Is it?
No, Copper Point is now across the freeway
okay.
from them. But Eastgate Church.
Okay, Eastgate.
Eastgate used to be the place where they'd have a lot of concerts, and that was called the Christian Center
right.
back in the day. And they were really participating and promoting a lot of concerts. I probably went to 10 or 12 concerts there. So Brad and Judy are going to join the show later in the week, and we're going to talk about Mountaintop Promotions. But here's something that I want to tell you that's maybe more recent. I went to a concert here about a year ago. Again, this was promoted by
mm-hmm.
Star 88.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw Casting Crowns,
mm-hmm.
and John Mark Hall is just, I think, a brilliant writer, but I want to read some lyrics. He has a song called Only Jesus,
mm-hmm.
and he's been approached over the years. I understand the story. He's a fabulous musician. I mean, he knows all the secular artists and everybody else. He's a great singer. He's a great writer. He's a great musician. He's a cancer survivor. I mean, mm-hmm. this is a guy that's dealt with
mm-hmm.
real life.
Mm-hmm.
He's a youth pastor of a church in Georgia. So this guy's dealt with the real world, and he's done all this great, you know, won Dove Awards and all these other things in music. But people have been saying to him, you can't leave a legacy, Mark, if you stay in Christian music. So he mm-hmm. wrote this song. It says, and this is in his song, Only Jesus. And I don't want to leave a legacy. I don't care if they remember me, only Jesus. And I've got only one life to live. I'll let every second point to him, only Jesus. How difficult it is for a successful musician in any genre to live in reality and not be swept away by fame and fortune.
Mm-hmm.
How is it tough for successful artists to not just get swept up in the fame?
I would think so. I mean, I was never a successful music artist. I mean, I did recordings and, you know, had record labels, but I was always on the underground. I wasn't, you know, mainstream. It was about being cutting edge, you know, for me. But I do know successful musicians, and I do have friends who, have had some notoriety in popular culture. And I do think it is difficult for them to balance the two. And even though I appreciate what John Mark Hall is saying, he is leaving a legacy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the reality is when you live and you leave a footprint on planet Earth, you've left some sort of legacy. So
yes.
He has left a legacy. But I think his overall point is that he would want his legacy to be one that's pointing people to Christ versus just pointing to himself. And I think that's the difference between a Christian artist and a non-Christian artist. A Christian artist is willing to give God the glory for what he has done and for who he is and the giftings he's given, as opposed to maybe a secular artist who doesn't want to give God the glory. He wants to give himself the glory. And so I appreciate immensely what John Mark Hall is saying in that sentiment, though I think he is leaving a legacy. Yeah. To say he's not leaving a legacy, I think would be dishonest on us to say. He's left a legacy. But his legacy is recognizing the need and the love of God in Christ.
Brian, our preoccupation with music is not just something that happens today. This was also has a biblical precedent as well, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, the Bible is chock full. I mean, you know, you go back to temple worship of the high temple during, you know, David and later Solomon's. I mean, you were talking about this was elaborate. You know, you go into some high liturgical churches today, be it Roman Catholic or Eastern Orthodox or Episcopal, and you go, boy, this is really high liturgical. It probably doesn't even hold a candle to what they were doing in the Old Testament, the high temple period. I mean, these were elaborate, you know, productions, if you will. And then it got simplified, you know, throughout church history. By the time you get to Paul, when synagogue worship was the norm rather than high temple worship, and it became more intimate, more personalized. And then you read Paul, you know, the encouragement of singing, you know, spiritual songs, hymns and such. And then, of course, throughout the early church, you know, that was kind of the norm. And then you get into the Middle Ages and it expanded even more and more. It became more like we would say an Old Testament worship, much more liturgical and big. And then come the Protestant Reformation and it simplified again. So there seems to be a pendulum swing throughout church history of, you know, big productions and then really simple. And probably right now, Jim, we're probably in a moment of big production. You know, you go to a lot of mega churches and it's big production. You know, there's lights, there's bands, there's in some churches choirs and they're big productions. But you go to some other churches, it's still really pretty simple. So I think that pendulum swings throughout history. But here's the bottom line. The people are worshiping the Lord, and that's the intent. Is I don't care if you go to a high liturgical church or a mega church that has a big production, or if you go to a small little, you know, Episcopal church that, you know, strums a guitar and sit, you know, tries to get through two choruses. It's the heart of the person, because Jesus said it boils down to what? Those who worship God worship him in spirit and in truth. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the heart of the person, Lord, I'm singing to you and what that person wants to communicate.
Brian, in about 14, 15 years, your little grandson, who's just been born here in recent months, is probably going to end up being a musician. I've already seen you. You're already posting pictures
Facebooks
of him.
Facebooks of him with his Irish flute. That's right.
Okay, so I want to ask you, is there anything, any style of music? I'm sure he's going to come up with something new because he's a Nixon, right? Is there anything that he is going to come up with that's going to freak you out?
I don't think so. I mean, because really, you know, music progresses by mixing with other styles. You know, something may be unique, but really what it is, it's taking two styles and meshing them together. So rap, you know, really could go back to talking blues and it mixed it with a DJ beat. Heavy metal, you know, has its own origins and everything has its origins. So, you know, I think future music styles will be unique ways to meld that which has gone on in the past to create something new in the future. So it's the melding and blending of styles and genres. And then it takes some exceptional musicians also for people to really, you know, progress musically speaking.
I'm rhythmically challenged, so I appreciate music, but I've never been able to play it, but I enjoy it thoroughly. Brian, thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciate you being here.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And I want to remind everybody that if you'd like to support Star 88, you can go to star88.fm and click on Give or click on the Star Week banner, and we appreciate you doing that. We're going to be back with Sam Newman He is with Cornerstone LifeWorks. They are a professional counseling center here in Albuquerque. I'm sure I might even ask him, Brian, about how music can help in their therapy. We'll be right back. Stay with us.